Good morning, men. Welcome back to the show. This is the Call of Men podcast, and as always, I am your host, Todd Archer. Wow. This has been a good week so far. Trying to just truly get into God's word and praying for understanding and praying for clarification that these are not just my thoughts, but these are what the Holy Spirit wants me to say. And man, he has showed me something this morning that just amazing as God always is. So before we get into this show, let me go ahead and pray. Father God, we just come to you today with open hearts, open minds, freely willing to let the Spirit work in us and guide us the way that you want us to go, not that the world wants us to go. Lord, I ask that every man that hears this word takes it to heart and believes in your power and your glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, Father. Father, I just ask that you strengthen them to allow them to lead their families, their churches, their communities, and their countries to where you want it to be, not where we want it to be. Father, it is in your power and your glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit, we ask all these things, Father. Amen. All right, man. So today we are getting started. We're no longer going to piddle around with some truth here that God has imparted on me. I've read it four or five times just this morning, just going through God's word and his truth. And this is, you know, like I said, if I were Satan, this is kind of a continuation of last week, right? If I were Satan, how I would lead and keep God's children, God's chosen, God's elect, into the realm of doubt and confusion. We know our God is not a God of confusion or doubt or anything. He is power, strength, and righteousness because of his Son, Jesus Christ, and his work on the cross for us. His death and resurrection brings to us the Holy Spirit, which gives us the power in order for us to go out and do what Jesus did in his 3 years of ministry on this earth, right? So as we look into the New Testament, and I've started reading the epistles, right, and going back and reading each one of them again, right, and we get to Romans, and the discussion that's been on my heart, that God's put on my heart, the point that he has been trying to work through me, is the power that we have in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, and our mindset on how we have to change that mindset. And it has been in topic of discussion, Romans 7, where it says, you know, I do the things that I don't want to do, all of that, that says I in the flesh, I can't do it. Even though my mind knows that the right thing to do, I can't do the right thing. And I get it. We're all there at that point at some time from our life, from birth. We are all that. And that's just how we were born. We were born into sin. Right. But it's interesting that God showed me this morning that Paul clarifies even 7 and how he uses the marriage covenant to explain what he's about to say. So in 7 it says, "Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law," right? So he's talking to Jewish followers that are in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, so it says the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. Right? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Okay, that right there is now he's using marriage as a, I don't know, the grammatical correlation, but marriage is sin, right, on our lives. So we are held to sin because we are married to sin through our birth into this world, into a sinful world that was caused by the fall of Adam and Eve eating the fruit, correct? I mean, in my mind, that's the way I see it. So he's using that marriage covenant. Okay, as long as we are in a covenant with sin, we're going to stay there because the law continues to point out to us each sin that we commit. So we will be committed to that. But it says, then it goes on. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. So, right there, he's setting up the glory and greatness of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we are married to sin by the flesh from birth. Right? Because of the fall from Adam and Eve. But if we die, as in Christ, death on the cross, and when we accept Christ through the death and burial and resurrection, we are reborn through Christ. So we are no longer, that has died. That part of us has died, and now we are married to Jesus Christ. Right? So we're not an adulteress. We're not a sinner. Now we are a child of God. Through the blood, the sanctifying and cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, we are now clear. We are no longer adulterous. We are no longer held to sin, but now we are held to spirit and the power that comes from it through the blood of Jesus Christ by the grace of God. Hope that makes sense. It's showing us the contrast, okay? Yes, if I'm born into sin, and I'm married to sin because of the flesh, because of the fall of Adam and Eve. But when I am baptized in my acceptance of Jesus Christ, I am no longer married to the flesh or to that sin. I am married to Jesus Christ, who washes me clean with blood. So there I am no longer obligated to sin. I am obligated to live by the Spirit that has been provided by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Woo-hoo! Wow, is that good news or what? Right there, setting up seven. Now, we know how Satan works. Satan is the deceiver, the confuser, right? And as Paul goes on and talks about this, he's talking about, I do the things I don't want to do. I know they're wrong, but I do them anyway, right? And he goes on. And it said, you know, he talks about all the things that he's stuck in as living in the flesh. And we all understand that. And we all get that. And we all relate to that at some point. And that's, and it's true of all of us. I mean, it's not wrong, but at some point in our lives, we all relate to everything in Romans 7. We do, because that's who we were. That's who we, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, that is what you are living in. And that is understandable. We've all been there until we've accepted Jesus Christ. We've all lived in it. And we all understand that. And that's the reason we take it to heart. And, oh, I'm just this. Oh, I'm just that. And I get it. And I understand it. And I see it because I was it. Right? So, in verse 25 or 23, it says, "But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin." Now, if we just read, if we just read verse 7 or chapter 7 as that, then yes, we understand it to be that that's where we're at. That's where we are stuck at. But that's not the message of Paul. And that's not what I feel the Holy Spirit is showing me in this, and what I'm trying to, and what I think all Christianity is trying to get to the point to. But Satan is, he knows this word too, and he knows all these things in chapter 7 hit home, and they are what we were before Jesus Christ, before we accepted Jesus Christ. So in order to deceive us and to keep us weak, and instead of stepping in and not allowing us to step into the power that has been provided to us by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God who provided Jesus, and Jesus provided the Holy Spirit. I never want to underestimate or limit that we do live under grace. The grace of God to send his son to die on a cross to cleanse us so that we may be seen as righteous in the eyes of the Father through the blood of us, through the blood of the Son. Now we have the power through the Holy Spirit. Not that we're equal with God. I'm not saying any of that stuff. It is by grace that we have been given these things. We could not earn it. That's what 7 is saying. We can't. We cannot live up to the law. That's the reason the law was given, to show us how we cannot do it by ourselves. It is only through the saving grace and love of the Father through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are able to do anything that we do. So please don't misunderstand or confuse it that I'm saying we're equal with God, because we're not. We never will be. He is the creator. We are the creation, period. We can't be as great as him. We can only be what he has empowered us to be. Right? Okay. So now get back on my point. So if we just read 7 up to that point, 23 through 25, right? And we look at that as it is, then yes, we're still stuck in that pattern. That's the way. But this is not, we have to take the chapter and verses kind of out of it when we read it, or when I read it. This is what the Holy Spirit has shown me, that now we have to move past that, because now let's get into 8. Chapter 8, right? Excuse me. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, or according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind of the spirit is life and peace. There it is. Seven is gone. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are no longer married to sin. We are no longer in that relationship. When we accept Jesus Christ, we have now been cleansed of that. And we have to get over that mindset that we live in that. Oh, the wretched man that I am. No, you're not. Not anymore. Me and you are not that wretched man. And we know through all, even what the world says, that is positive, that in order to change our mindset, we have to work at it, right? Or to change our habits that are bad, we have to work at it. So instead of falling back on the flesh and thinking in the flesh, we have to take eight, that it is by the grace and love of God, the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, or through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are no longer that. Jesus didn't die on the cross for nothing, men. Men, he died on the cross so that me and you could have the power to be able to do the things that he did on this earth as well, to go and heal people, just like I said in the last episode. But we have to get out of that mindset. And it says it all right here. We are no longer charged by what we were. We are a new creation, right? And this is the message he has put on my heart. And it's something that I'm learning and walking through. And I'm praying every day that he shows me and what it looks like, right? And I was reading that this morning. And I was like, that's it right there. Paul says it all right there. That is the gospel message. That, yes, we were that. In chapter 7 of Romans. No matter, you know, there's been question on, was it Paul? Was it somebody? Who was he talking about? Let's don't get caught up in that. Doesn't matter. We were all that wretched man in chapter 7 of Romans. We were. But when we accept Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, that man is dead. We are no longer married to that sinful covenant. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Just like he says, where there is no law, there is no sin. Jesus Christ fulfilled every aspect of the law while he walked on this earth. It's done. So now we live by the law of grace because all of it was fulfilled. We are now living under the covenant of grace, not the law, because Jesus fulfilled all the law. So it's complete. And his blood washed clean everything that we have done that violates the law. But it's through our faith in Jesus and the faith that says we are a child of God and we are in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are washed clean. We are a new creation. That is the true, that's it. I don't really have the words. I mean, that is so exciting. That is so awesome that right there in 8, it tells us that we are clean. We have been saved. We live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Because it goes on to say in 8, or 7 and 8, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. It says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead, here's the good news right here, because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit, 11 says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So you want to know why we're still in this flesh? It's because of the grace and love of God and his plan for our life. Don't be confused and don't get caught up in chapter 7, because that's where Satan wants you to be. To doubt, to limit. Yeah, you're this. Yeah, you're that. You're not good enough. You can't do this. You can't do that. Step into the glory and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Man, we have to be those leaders. Right? We have to take hold of that power. And as a church or corporate church or pastor or someone who preaches, we could no longer preach the flesh. Like I said last time, that's where Satan wants us to be. That's where he wants us to stay. He wants us to stay in the flesh. He wants to confuse us, right? He wants to use God's word against us, which what happens when you stay in chapter 7 and you identify with the wretched man instead of the man that Paul says we are in chapter 8, right? We are no longer to be confused. Yeah, we used to be that dude, and we are thankful for the grace and love of God through his son, Jesus Christ, that we are no longer that person. And if we have truly accepted and believe in who Jesus is, and what he did on this earth, he died on the cross, and on the third day he was resurrected. If we truly believe that and take it into our hearts, we are no longer married to the flesh. Now we are married to the Spirit. And when the Spirit steps in that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same Spirit that lives in us truly, and we believe, and we are true believers and followers of Jesus Christ, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Right there. That's it. There's no confusion left. Paul clearly states. Right? Now, we understand that it's nothing that we've done to earn it. It is a free gift. And we should be thankful every day for that free gift. Every single day of our lives, when we take a breath, we should be thanking God for that breath, because it is his breath that we are taking, that he is giving to us daily, every second, every breath that you don't even know you take. You should thank God for it. We should be thanking God for those breaths, because as long as we still take a breath, then he still has a plan and he still has a purpose for our lives, and he still has something that he wants to share with us. He still has something he wants to give to us. He still has something that he needs us to do in order to glorify the kingdom of heaven and glorify the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit by what we do here on this earth. But if we listen to Satan and get caught up in chapter 7 and its contents of the wretched man, I can't do the thing. God says, yes, you can. Jesus said, yes, you can do the things that you didn't think you could do before. Not because you could do them. You're right. You can't. But because of me and me providing to you the Holy Spirit that raised me from the dead, you are now raised from the dead of the flesh. And now you live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. So don't be confused and get caught up into the trap that is verse or chapter 7, because that's no longer who you are. You are chapter 8. Now we go on. 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. What more do you need to know? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe it in your heart? Do you know what he has done for you? Have you seen it in your life? Are the fruits of what he has done for you visible in your life? Are you looking for Jesus in those things? To see, to know his power? I had to go back and reflect in my own life. I had to go back and look and like, okay, God, where were you in all of these situations? Right? And one that sticks out in my head, and I think I've shared it on here before, is when I was young, my papa, my grandfather, he was my hero. He was the coolest dude I'd ever met. Right? And he got sick. He had emphysema. He was in the hospital. Went and seen him. We watched the World Series. You know, it was, everything looked like it was going to be okay. And then my mom came in and said, hey, Papa's really sick. We don't know what's going to happen. Remember, I prayed. Not that I was in church or very churched or knew, but I knew that there was a higher power. I knew that God, if something's going wrong, I should pray to God. I've been around my church friends or whatnot, right? And for the longest time, I prayed. I said, God, just make him better, heal him, make him well, just make him better. That was my prayer. It was simple. It was easy. I don't know how long it was. It only seemed like it was about 15 minutes. I don't know. It could have been a couple hours. I went to sleep. My mom came in and woke me up and told me that my papa had died. Yeah. Me and God were done at that point. I was young. I didn't understand. Well, God, if you are, and I think most of us can relate to this at some point in our life, that God, if you are who you say you are, why didn't you answer my prayer? Why didn't you make my papa better? And it wasn't until I get into his word and I mature and I learn and I understand that God did answer my prayer. God fully answered my prayer. The only way he can make my papa better was to take him home, was to take him out of this world. His flesh had died so much that his spirit could no longer contain his spirit, so God had to call him home. He did answer my prayer 100%. Right? Those are the things that we have to see and that we have to look at and that we have to understand that, yes, God answers our prayers, every one of them. It may not be how we want or how we would think in our fleshly body when we think with our fleshly brain and our not through the spirit, right? We understand that we have to change our mind and we have to listen to the spirit and we have to see, open our minds to what the bigger picture is, right? But God answered my prayer, right? And I'm sure in your life there has been just as many answered prayers that at the moment you didn't think were answered. But now if you are in Jesus Christ and you truly believe he is who he says he is and he has done the things for you, that you have been washed clean through the righteousness, his righteousness, not yours, but through his righteousness and the cleansing power of his blood on that cross for the payment of our sins, and he has provided you the Holy Spirit in order to empower you the ways to overcome this flesh, then when you look back on your past, you will see God's presence. He will show you. When you ask, show me where you were, right? There's so many times, like I said, I've made many mistakes in my life. And I'm not And I'm not proud of it. You see my little one back there watching me. But I'm not proud of it. None of those things. But he says, you're not that anymore. You're not that. And you're not going to be that. You are a new creation. Right? And I am thankful every day for that. And I'm grateful every day for that. As we all should be, that we now live in the Spirit and that we have been made new. We no longer live in the flesh, we live in the Spirit. So men, take that to heart today. Change your mind. Quit falling back into the past of the flesh and the sin and whatever, and take hold of the truth, authority, and power that has been given to us through the blood, sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ, and through his gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us to do what he has called us to do, to spread the gospel message of his truth and the good word. Take that to heart as you go out into the world and know that doesn't matter whether the body is here today and gone tomorrow. Your spirit is what empowers you. Your spirit is the fuel that grows you and leads you to do what Jesus Christ has called you to do. So remember, men, as you go out and do what you do today, answer the call of me.